I'm used to when I no, this is just fine. This is just fine. When I transitioned into my role at our church now, I swapped pulpits. And the one that I pulled out of storage was a lot bigger than the other one, and I'm a big guy, and it just felt good to be behind that. And when my worship leader got up the first Sunday that was in our sanctuary, her head came just about here to where the so I think that she'll probably enjoy knowing that this one's a little bit smaller than what I'm used to today. Bow your heads with me. Father, as we have, God, found ourselves in your presence today, Lord, the worship has been tremendous, the fellowship has been phenomenal, but Father, none of those things matter except that your Spirit would show up today. So Father, as we're here, as we're breaking open your word together, as you have provided an opportunity for us to come together to this place today, Father, I pray that you would just show up. Father, as we celebrate mothers, as we enjoy the blessing that they are, Father, just that your Spirit would be evident, and Father, that we would walk away with a new measure of you and how much you love us. We ask all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. So as I just want to echo what has already been said a number of times, happy Mother's Day. I wholeheartedly believe that God designed the family, and when he did, he made mothers special. You may be wondering what in the world I may know to bring you today about being a mother. I have only been a father myself just a little, we're just short of 2 years now, and I have to tell you, I don't know much about being a dad, so I definitely know I don't know anything about being a mom, but I do know what it's like to be loved by a good mom. My mom is here with me today. I have an aunt who did not stand up with the rest of the mothers, but I assure you that she has loved me the same way a mother would love. My mother-in-law, I think there's a good chance that she may be watching your live stream today from Auburn, Alabama, which means that since my wife is here, my aunt is here, my mom is here, and my mother-in-law is watching, all of the good sermon illustrations are out. I have no funny stories that I can tell you today. But again, when we think about moms, we have to admit that mothers are special. I have people in my life, again, that while they're not blood relatives of mine, they are people who still love me in motherly ways, who have simply stepped in to fill the role. I'm sure that you know people who have loved you that way. Spiritual mothers, friends of yours that have stepped in, again, to fill that gap. I've watched my sister become a mother to the two most handsome nephews that you've ever seen. And again, I've had the extreme blessing to watch my own wife become the mother to our daughter. So, mothers, we appreciate you today. Whether through biological process, adoption, by marriage, or simply by being someone who sees a need and steps in to meet that need for somebody else, you're necessary and you're important. Your love matters. As I began to pray about what God may have me bring you today, again, I'm not a mother. I know very little about being a parent. I automatically migrated towards some scriptures that I knew were specifically tailored for the occasion of Mother's Day. Proverbs 21 tells us things like, "Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice." That's an encouragement for you and I to watch our character, to see how we behave, and to understand that your mother may look at what you're doing and be less than pleased with your conduct. Now that's scary. So let her who bore you be glad. Or the ever popular Proverbs 31, where we read, "Her children rise up and call her blessed." And if any of you dads forgot a gift or a card today, remember this when you apologize to her later. "Her husband also," and he praises her, "many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." That's a good compliment to keep in your pocket for later. Growing up, I heard my own pastor preach from the text, "Honor your father and mother," and it never failed when he got to that section of scripture. You would see my mom's head lean out down the row and look where my sister and I were sitting, just a little bit closer to our grandparents. And then he would get to the selection of scripture that said, "Parents, don't provoke your children," and then we would get to lean forward and look back at her. Scripture really offers us some beautiful moments to contemplate honorable women and good mothers. Sweet verses, comforting words, But sometimes, and what I have found to be true more often than not in my own experience, life is not always easy, is it? We wish for those beautiful moments, those comforting moments, those peaceful times. But what I found is that more often than not, life is a struggle. So while it would be my preference to bring you a Mother's Day message from another text, Proverbs 31 or some of those other passages that we've grown familiar with, I feel that God may have you and I go in a different direction today. We're going to look at John chapter 19, verses 16 through 27. We're going to focus in on one of those verses, and it begins, "So he then handed him over to them to be crucified. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha." This is all familiar. We've just come through Easter. "There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on either side and Jesus in between. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It was written, 'Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews.' Therefore, many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews were saying to Pilate, 'Do not write 'The King of the Jews,' but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.' Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.' Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. So they said to one another, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be.' This was to fulfill the scripture, 'They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.' Therefore the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." Verse 26 says, "When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.'" Verse 27 finishes, "Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household." Now, I have this habit when I prepare to preach, I look for small details, I look for small moments, and today's message is built on one of those small moments. We've just come through Easter, and we know for anyone, the scene of the crucifixion is a difficult scene to behold. I remember when The Passion of the Christ came out, when that movie came out, when the scene of Jesus being beaten, he's tied to the block, he can't move, and they're whipping him. I think it's the first time in a movie that I've ever had to turn my face away from a screen. When we read it, it's equally as difficult to take in. Jesus has just made his way through town, outside the city, carrying his cross through crowded streets to the place where he will lay down his life. He's been betrayed, unfairly accused. He's been unfairly tried, whipped, beaten, insulted, and soon enough he will be lifted up on a Roman cross between two criminals to breathe his last breath. But right in the middle of all of that chaos, right in the middle of the crowd, right in the middle of all of the impending death, there's Mary, close to her son. Right in the middle is a mother and her boy. The implications of Mary's presence at the cross are important for us today. They teach us a few things. I know that when we read that selection, when we get to that text, we focus on the crucifixion. We weigh the sacrifice that Christ ultimately made for our sins on the cross. And it's wonderful that we get caught up in that. And never should we forget what that sacrifice means for you and I. But I feel like we quickly move from that selection on to the resurrection, when we get to celebrate when he walks out of the tomb. And again, those are two tremendous moments in Scripture, but today I want us to stop right in the middle of those two parts of the story and understand that in everything that Jesus went through, I have to believe that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was close in everything that he went through. Soldiers didn't matter, the blood didn't matter, the dirt and the dust and the violence didn't matter. She knew that she needed to be where her son was. And within the context of that small verse, verse 26, when Jesus then saw his mother, and I have to believe that by this point, there's blood running down his face. His eyes are matted together. There's dust, there's sweat, there's blood. But she's close enough that he looks down from the cross and he sees her there. And her presence, I think, teaches us a couple of things about love. And the first thing that I want to address with you today is that her presence at the cross teaches you and I that love is strong. By now, we know that Jesus has developed a reputation around the city. Moms have a curious way of just knowing things, don't they? Did you have a mom like that? She just knew things before you had a chance to tell her. Most of the time, my mom knew things that I wished that she didn't know, but she knew them anyway, and we had to have those conversations. I grew up in Chilhowie, Virginia, a one red light town that is so small, there's no way to exaggerate to you the idea that everybody knows everybody. Which also means that everybody knows everybody else's business, right? So there were a few places growing up that my friends and I could go that wouldn't inevitably end in some conversation with someone who had graduated from high school with my dad, somebody who had a kid in my mom's classroom at the local elementary school, or somebody who had a story to tell about growing up with one of my grandfathers. Everybody knew everybody. And I get the feeling that by this time, Mary had heard the stories from neighbors, from friends, that she had overheard conversations in the streets about how Jesus had just been run out of a town for sending a herd of pigs over a cliff because of an altercation with a demon, that he had fed 5,000 plus people at a church picnic one morning. And she knew that he had a habit of upsetting what was considered to be normal and routine, because moms know things. She knew what her son had been participating in. She knew why he was born. Perhaps she had heard the hushed whispers about the plot of the religious elite, that they were formulating a trap to capture her son. I'm sure she had heard his own words regarding his death, remembering what an angel had spoken to her all those years ago. He will save his people from their sins. To love at all places you and I in a vulnerable position, doesn't it? To put our heart in the hand of somebody that we care about sets us up eventually to be hurt somehow. Have you ever watched somebody that you love endure a hardship and you couldn't do anything about it? You had to watch them struggle. You had to watch them strive. And I have to tell you that, again, being a new dad myself, there have been a couple of those occasions when you take your kid to the doctor and you're not expecting over the course of this checkup that your daughter's going to have shots. And then that mean nurse wheels that cart in with that syringe on it. And they stick your kid, and then the nurse just leaves, and you're in there with tears running down your face, and your baby's crying, wondering why you would let this happen to her, but you know that it's for her own good. It's hard to watch people that you love hurt, isn't it? We watch them face heartaches and trials that you can't do anything about. It hurts to watch the people that you love hurt. Do you ever imagine what Mary felt on the hillside that day as she watched her boy hang there? She watched soldiers gamble for his clothes as he was placed above them. The crown of thorns that they pressed into his head. I'll tell you, if it had been up to me to offer my daughter for you, we'd be in a lot of trouble today. It shows the strength of love on Mary's part to watch this happen to her son. It's revealed, I think, the strength of her love is revealed to you and I today in her nearness to the cross, her nearness to Jesus in what was, in all reality, his darkest moment. That kind of love is serious business, isn't it? The second point that I have for you this morning is an important one. My wife works in foster care. She's a foster care specialist. She oversees home visits and these studies where they make sure that the kids that they're taking from one home are placed in a home that is safe and that it's good for them. And what it has taught me to hear her discuss some of what she sees at work is this. It's that love makes family, not blood or biology. Love makes a family. Verse 27 within the selection that we read this morning says, "Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her," Mary, "into his own household." Jesus gives a charge to John here to care for Mary in the whirlwind that would follow his death and his resurrection. He knew that she would need somebody in his place. And John was there. He was present at the cross as well. And he charges John to watch over his mother. John cares for her as he asks. It says, "From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. No questions asked. He just did it." He welcomes her, I believe, not because of blood. They weren't related. Not because he was guilted into it. But I think that we can reason he welcomes Mary into his house because they're connected by love. Now, I don't want you to miss this. They have a shared love for Christ. They're both there, one to see her son, the other to see his master. Now, I don't think that we can discount the fact, I don't think that we can get around the fact that Mary wasn't just there to see her son. By all accounts, Jesus was her master as well. So here they are, both intimately connected to Jesus Christ. They have a shared love for him. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't that the same thing that makes you and I family today? I love churches that have a time of welcoming like what you all had. I grew up in a church where service would stop, the piano player would key up the song, "I'm So Glad I'm a Part of the Family of God," an old Bill Gaither song, and everybody, our sanctuary was big, and people would shake hands, and they would talk their way across the room, and then by the time that the pastor announced that that time was over, people would have 10 minutes to walk back to their seat because they had traveled so far to shake hands with people that they had not seen, not people that they were related to, not people that they felt like they needed to go and see, but people that they knew were their church families, bonded because of their connection with Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful thing to see in the world today? They have a shared love for Christ. Biology may be the thing that starts a family, but love is the thing that makes one and keeps one. A shared love of Christ bonds us all so long as he is at the center of all we do and say. So I've got a question for you this morning. I heard a pastor preach once. He said, "If you're not excited about what God is doing, how can you expect anybody else to be?" So my question for you today is, are you glad that you're a part of the family of God? Are you excited to be a part of what he's doing within the body? Not because we're connected by blood, not because you feel some guilt that you have to be a part of it, but because you've been welcomed in and that you've been loved well and that you know at the center of everything that is done and is said is the common bond of the blood of Jesus. I don't know if you're excited, but I'm excited about it. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. So I love that again, is really just another small detail in the middle of a chaotic scene. But to see Mary there at the foot of the cross and Jesus' disciple standing there with her, and he looks down at both of them and he says, "Behold your mother. She's in your care now. Love her," because that's what we're supposed to do. Oh, I'm glad to be a part of it today. And I'm glad to know that you're a part of it too. The third and last point that I have for you today is an important one. I feel like the world that we live in grows increasingly busy every moment. Your calendar is full. Your agenda is packed. You may stress about what the next thing that you have to take care of is. I want you to forget about all of that stuff for just a second while we're here together today. Can we do that? Just forget about the schedule. Forget about what the week ahead looks like. I want you to pay attention to one important thing. And it's this third point in today's message. And it's simply that love is present. I feel like we get into this habit of always thinking about the next thing that we forget about being where we are. We may show up, but that does not entirely mean that we're present in that place, does it? I had a conversation with a friend of mine not long after COVID-19 had started. We were discussing the merit of a live stream service. And he says, well, how can you count that as church attendance? You don't know how much attention those people pay to your message before they just scroll on to the next thing. They may watch 30 seconds of it and then they're on to the next video, or they plug their phone up or whatever. I said, I think it's a lot the same as when people show up to church physically on Sunday morning. They may tune in for the first 5 minutes of what I have to say from the pulpit, but they may tune out for the rest. There's a game to watch on TV when we're done. There's lunch to be had. There's this to be taken care of around the house. And they forget to spend the rest of that time in God's presence because they've thought about whatever the next thing is. Love is present. I believe Mary was close by the entire time that Jesus endured what he endured. I imagine her fighting her way along through the streets, up the hill, past the soldiers at the foot of the cross, to be near her son. See, people of God, love is not always about words. It's not always about feelings and thoughts. And we like to say that love is about action in the church, and that's absolutely true. But in this moment, I don't even think love was about action. Here, I think a mother's love, and indeed, love in one of its largest senses, is shown through Mary's presence at the cross of her son. Now, I want you to understand that we are not discounting the sacrifice of Jesus by paying attention to what Mary does while she's at the cross of Jesus. The cross is foundational to everything that we believe. The resurrection is what we hang all of our belief and all of our hope on, is that he did what he said he was going to do. He died and he rose again, right? We've just come through Easter and we have to believe those things. But I think we would be cheating ourselves if we neglected to pay attention to Mary's presence at the foot of the cross. We're not discounting Jesus. We're not exalting Mary's presence there over what Christ did. But it benefits us to note what she does and the example that she sets for you and I. See, sometimes love doesn't need to say anything, does it? Sometimes love doesn't have to do anything. What love does sometimes is that it just shows up. To know that you have somebody close by who cares enough about you. You don't always know what to say. You don't always know what to do. But you can show up. You can show up. Sometimes it just needs to be there. It needs to be present in all of the boxes that we feel like we have to check in the day-to-day, in the week-to-week, in all of the to-dos that dominate the way that we live our life. Sometimes we forget that simply showing up makes a difference too. I know it's Mother's Day, but this is something that I believe we all ought to go home with today. So I want you to get ready to memorize this. I want you to get ready to carry this out with you as we leave today. We don't need perfect moms. We don't need perfect parents. We'd be in a lot of trouble if we did, wouldn't we? We don't need perfect parents. The world doesn't need a perfect bunch of church people, a perfect bunch of believers. We need people who are present. People need to see us as church folks, as the family of God. Our kids need to see us, our spouses, our church families need to see it. The world needs to see a group of people who are not distant, but who are near in all of life's circumstances. Moms aren't the only ones who should follow Mary's example today. We all should. She shows us that love shows up. See, what I am a little embarrassed to tell you is after the last round of shots that my daughter had, I had taken her to the pediatrician by myself. She got the shots as kind of a surprise. We weren't expecting that she would have any more. I got home, got her put down for a nap. The situation had calmed, and as soon as my wife walked in the door from work that day, I said, the next doctor's appointment, we know that she's going to have those shots. You can take her. I wasn't about to show up again. It was too much for my heart to handle. But I told you at the start that I think God made mothers different The love of a mother is tough, and Mary shows us that. She shows us that love shows up. It digs in when things are hard. It welcomes people in. We see that as this disciple of Jesus welcomes Mary to be cared for in his own home. It protects, it heals, and it preserves. And I believe, church, that today our call is similar. To observe the love this woman displayed by being near to her son in his darkest moment during Christ's greatest act of love for us. She sets the example. If you don't walk out with anything else today, walk out with the idea that love is there. That it doesn't wait for things to get good before it shows up. She didn't wait until the body had been prepared and laid out in its tomb and was covered and she didn't have to look at it. She was there in love for her son every step of the way. And church, you and I have to be willing to do the same. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity that you have allowed us today to